Well, a welcome again to each one gathered this morning. There's a reason why we gather Sunday mornings to worship our Lord, and we do that routinely. Well, this morning we have nine other reasons to be gathered that makes this morning special, and that is that there are nine young people today who will be receiving water baptism and will become a part of the Bride of Christ in a special way. They've been already, but this will mark yet another step in this journey of faith that they're on. And so it is a special gift to be gathered together this morning. That first song, the second verse, spoke about it being comely for us to glory in our lot. It's not rebuking us for that, but it reminds us not to stop there, but to glory in the God of heaven. I'm exactly sure how it says it, but well said, I thought. And there is something about the Christian life, living the Christian life. When we walk with the Lord, sometimes we can feel, we will find ourselves at different places in our experience many times. It's not always the same. And sometimes we may feel a little smug because we know our Lord and we walk with him and we rejoice in him, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if our focus becomes ourselves and our own experience and what we like about being Christian, we can miss the point. And the point is simply that there is a God in heaven who has given us all this. And so our gratitude needs to go back to him. Well, I'd like to look at, if you would turn with me to the book of Romans, I'll be reading just a couple of verses out of chapter 7 and then mostly out of chapter 8. Maybe I will just preface my reading with a few more comments. Many of you will remember that Romans 7 the chapter ends on a bit of a, on a bit of a down note. It doesn't actually end there because it actually ends upbeat. But it talks in Romans 7 about an issue that is pretty common among Christians. And I felt like perhaps just sharing this for the sake of those who are receiving baptism today maybe could be an encouragement to you. Now, in verse 24 and 25 of chapter 7, after he's spoken about some of the struggle, some of the strife that goes on sometimes in the hearts of believers about wanting to do right but not getting it done right, he ends up with this in verse 24 and 25. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And there's been a lot of debate as to what Paul is talking about here. Was he talking about his own experience? Was he talking about a current reality for him? Was he talking about just something that he experienced at one point and then had complete victory over? I don't think that we have to figure that out for sure. I think sometimes we almost, we almost dehumanize some of the apostles because we think they were just almost too good to have written something like the Apostle Paul did here. And if I were to read some of that to you, you'd know what I mean. You know, the things that I do, I don't get done, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. That kind of thing. God would not have us to live in a state of defeat. But the Apostle Paul is honest enough to admit that there is an ongoing struggle for the believer. And then he offers us hope and courage in chapter 8 then. And that's where I would like to focus our attention to. But I think it's important for us to understand a bit what is going on in our lives sometimes when we struggle with something that just doesn't want to go away. We understand what it is, and we also learn how to deal with it. So I'd like then to read now just after he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that he will deliver him from this body of death. Or as it may be better said, this body of death, instead of the way it is said in King James versus body of this death. Then he says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But they that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, and by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's as far as I will read. There would be more that would be pertinent, but I think that will suffice for what we for this morning's lesson. Probably it is helpful for us sometimes to just ignore chapter divisions, and this is one of those times, because it seems to me like the Apostle Paul, though he spoke about some of these frustrating times for the Christian, and he ends up in 25, then of course giving glory to God, to Jesus Christ our Lord, but then he admits that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Then he goes right into, then the next words he says is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's the part that I think we ought to focus on. One of the way this is written here, you could almost read like the person is either in or out. Either we walk in the Spirit or we don't walk in the Spirit. And that is true. It can be true. However, the way I would understand this passage is he would be telling us that there are areas of our life that we have devoted to God, and those are the areas where we walk in the Spirit. And then there are areas of our life that perhaps we have not devoted to God, and that's where we struggle with the flesh. And so, in essence, I believe what he is saying here in this passage is that the more that we commit every area of our life as those trouble spots in our experience, as we give those to God, and as we walk in the Spirit, those are where we have victory. Instead of saying you either are in or out because you do or don't, in other words, if you don't have any struggles, you're in, and if you got struggles, you're out. I just don't understand this to be saying that. I think this is talking about those areas of our lives that we give to him. It's those areas where we are walking the Spirit. And so it's tempting for us to look at some of those areas sometimes where we struggle in and say, well, how can I be a Christian if I deal with these issues? And it's probably a legitimate question to ask if it helps us understand the truth of God's word, if we understand the truth of God's grace and his goodness. But here's what he says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in those areas of life where we walk after the flesh, there is condemnation. I mean, by implication, that's what he's saying. That area of life is condemned because we don't walk in the Spirit. But he says that to those then who are walking in the Spirit, to those areas of life that we commit to the Spirit, that those are the areas of life where we walk in victory and in grace and the goodness of God. Those are the times that we just thank God, we rejoice in God for the grace that he's given us and for our position in him, for our lot in Christ. This morning, to you as a class, I would just like to assure you that, again, that the closer you walk to God, the more that you give those areas, those troublesome areas, to the Lord, the more you walk in the Spirit in those troublesome areas, the more victory you will experience. And those areas, I won't bother to start naming them because they are multitude. And so giving your hearts to God, giving those areas, identifying the areas of struggle and bringing those, learning to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh is how you will gain victory. That's not just for you, that is for all of us. It's a journey that I'm on. It's a journey that I think everyone out there is on. One would think that after you get into your 60s and your 70s and your 80s and your 90s that somehow these things diminish. And fortunately, I'm grateful that yes, they do, and they're going to say they diminish, but they are still real. The battle is still real. So for that reason today, I just entreat you, let's walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, because it is there that we find victory and grace. Before we pray, I'd like just to make one quick announcement yet. We'd like to reserve the